Well, thank you, brother. It's good to be with you folks once again to be able to share a few thoughts from God's Word and hopefully to help to us to encourage us on this day. We do want to thank you, as we usually do, for your kindness to us, your assistance, and so on along the journey. And even this past month, we received a card for my birthday. It was very kind of you folks. Many of you signed it and wrote kind notes in there. We are thankful for that. I think Christy sent it out to us. We appreciate, again, your kindness toward us as we continue to minister for him. But now we come this morning, and as you know, many celebrate this day as Easter, the resurrection. And as I contemplated what I might speak on, several things have come to mind. In fact, what I'm going to speak on wasn't exactly the topic I had chosen a month or so ago. I was going to look at something from Hebrews chapter 11, but then the Lord changed my mind as I was reading a devotional a couple of weeks ago. I was reading chapter 24 of Luke, and some things came to mind as I was reading through it, especially the issue of the open tomb. And I thought that was sort of interesting and started doing some research and thought I would do this instead. So hopefully it'll be a help too. I know it was encouragement to me as I looked at it. And so we want to do that together. And this issue of opening things, it comes out in a few places in Scripture, but it's interesting here in the book of Luke. Let us read Luke chapter 24. We'll start with the first three verses, and then we'll make some introductory comments and so on. But Luke chapter 24, verse 1, and I have it up on the screen here. If you're able to see it, that's fine. You may have your own Bible, which is great as well. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Well, that's a very interesting few verses there, this whole issue of these ladies and what they expected to do. And as I think about it, I wonder what they were expecting to find when they came. What were they thinking as they brought these spices, no doubt interested in perhaps using them and as additional perfume and spices for the body and so on, and maybe even thinking, or no doubt thinking, how the tomb would be opened and so on. And they come, and I wonder what they were thinking on the way as to what they would find. And I wonder for ourselves too, don't we often think, when we give gifts and so on, they're all wrapped up or they're in a bag or in a box or whatever, don't we really sort of get excited, look forward to what we might find in the gift? Perhaps it's a Christmas gift that you received, and you look at the size of it and the different color of the wrapping paper and whatever, and you try to guess what it is, but you're excited about seeing what is inside, aren't you? Usually. Now, you might be different, I understand, but generally people would be excited about that. And no doubt you've seen other examples where you have a choice of something, or perhaps there's a locked door and you're wondering what is behind it. Is it like a mystery to you and you want to know what's there? And I got thinking about that in relation to a couple, even from way back, a couple of old TV shows. I think at least one is still on today, but you think about the old Let's Make a Deal. Remember the Doors? So Let's Make a Deal. Door number one, two, or three, or whatever it might be. And you're wondering what was behind the door, you know, or you had a choice perhaps between keeping what you had and choosing this door. And you didn't know what was behind the door, but you would have loved to have known, wouldn't you? And then you'd make your choice if you knew ahead of time, but you didn't know ahead of time. And so there you are thinking, what's there? And perhaps you've seen more recently other shows. There's this show Barbara and I saw a while back. We were at someone's home or in a hotel, and we looked at Extreme Makeover on HGTV. And there we were, you're watching it. And what they do, of course, is they choose a family to redo their home or build them a home or whatever it might be. And then, of course, once it's all done, they bring the family back and they put that family behind the bus and say, okay, now let's move the bus. And what do they see? The reaction, of course. They aren't quite sure what to expect. And when they move the bus, what a difference. What we look at their face and see what happens to them. The reaction is marvelous to see. And the one we saw recently, as I said, a couple of months back, was actually a very sad one in some ways because it's of a man, a firefighter, and I believe it was in Arizona, if I remember correctly, but it was a firefighter and his wife, and they had a daughter, and she had just gone to the hospital to have another child. They found that they had twins. And of course, their home wouldn't be able to hold the five of them. They only had a two-bedroom home. And yet that's what they had. And sadly to say, very sad situation, it brought tears to my eyes, to think that sadly she had a rare embryonic aneurysm that killed her. But the two children were born. And the sad picture of that man leaving the hospital with his two children in the two carriers without his wife. It saddened me. It came over me. And yet the community rallied around him, and evidently someone found out about from the show, whatever, in the process. And to see this man's face when he saw the home they gave him and all the help they'd given him and so on. Oh, what a surprise that was when they, as it were, opened that package, despite the sadness of the situation. And so today we come. And you see, we have some similar circumstances, a sad situation, one who had to die for our sins. And yet, oh, what joy we feel, we experience because of what Christ has done for us. Does that not perhaps bring tears to our eyes as well? And so when I came to this verse a few weeks ago, in Luke 24, I read these few verses as part of my little devotion. And I thought about, that's interesting, these women are coming to the grave, and they come with these spices, thinking they had prepared them, of course, before the Sabbath, got them all ready to go so that on Sunday morning they could come and perhaps put those with the body or whatever, not knowing what to expect, I don't think. And they come, and they find the stone rolled away. They find the grave open. And no doubt they must have wondered, how did that get opened? And it was touched on in our thoughts this morning, wasn't it? And the brother mentioned the issue of the opening the grave. How is it? Well, we don't know exactly how. But we would perhaps, some will suggest the angels, or perhaps the power of God, or the Spirit of God, whatever it might have been. It seems like these angels were involved in some way, that God's power was there to open the grave. And so we've had several opportunities this morning to look at various hymns and thoughts from the brethren, from the scriptures and so on. And we looked at hymns like, "Look ye saints, take a look and see the one now in glory, and go and search and see and come and see," in Matthew someone mentioned, right? Oh, the marvelous thoughts that came out, this idea of coming and seeing. And so they came, and the ladies come, and they bring their spices. They find the stone rolled away, and they enter in. And what a surprise. I would expect they would probably have thought the body was there. And they enter in, and oh, nothing there, gone, except perhaps the grave clothes and things like that. The angels are there. And so you see, it must have been quite a surprise. I wonder if that's a pleasant surprise or a more difficult surprise, to find, one, that the grave is open, but two, that the body is gone. And we can look back and say how marvelous that opening is, can't we? How marvelous that the grave was open. And so we see then, in the first opening, we might say, of this portion, that the grave was open. And we'll find, of course, although the word open is not mentioned, by the way, in that portion, we're going to see three more openings as we look at this together. And so we're going to go down and look at another one. But let's just review briefly then what happened so we can get down to the second one. And even though we're going to look at the second one, it actually is not done in that order, but it's just written in this order. based on what happened. But they come down and you see they were very afraid of the angels. And the angels say in verse 6 of chapter 24 of Luke, he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. And so they mention, of course, and they go back, of course, to what his words were. And verse 8, they remembered his words. They had heard them. And now they return, of course, all excited, don't they? Oh, he's risen from the dead. Oh, what an opening that must be for them and for us today as well. And so they come back, and of course, they're a little surprised to hear what the girls have to say, the ladies have to say. And they see it as idle tales, you know, in verse 11. And but then Peter and John and a few others, as you know, in other places in the scripture, it says here Peter did, but we know from John that John did as well. They arose, right? Then arose Peter and ran to the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves. So there was something there, but the body is gone. And he departed wondering himself at that which he had seen come to pass. You see, he went in, and in fact, if you look at the book of John, I think it's around chapter 21 or 20 in there somewhere, where they go, and John and Peter go, and Peter takes an initial glance in, it seems. And that's, interestingly enough, in that portion, there's three different words for the word see in English, three different Greek words used in that portion. And that's another whole study. But you go in, and he goes in, he sees that as he just takes a glance, he looks and sees, and he sort of pokes his head in, and that's it. And I think that's initially sort of what John does, actually. And then Peter goes in, he looks at, but he looks on with scrutiny. He looks at where the clothes are laid and so on. And then John looks back in again and looks at a different way, and he looks with understanding, it says. He perceived what was there, that something had happened, that the Lord, perhaps, was risen. How we view and see things, and different Greek words, different English words, for giving us that sense, do we really see? And so now as we come down to verse 13 of chapter 24, you get the story. This is one of my favorite chapters, by the way, in the scriptures. Luke 24, John 9 is another one, where he opens the eyes of a man born blind. But he comes in here, and the two disciples in the Emmaus Road, you know the story, and Cleopas is there with another, perhaps some suggest it's his wife, whatever, we don't know. But they're talking about what has happened. They've heard about his being risen from the dead. They've heard the details. They saw what had happened to Christ and so on. And now Jesus comes along and says, hey, by the way, what's going on? What are you talking about? And so they share, of course, about what they have seen and heard. And starting in verse 20, they talk about how he was condemned to death and how Christ had to die or had died. And they had trusted in verse 21, that was the one who would redeem Israel, right? They had a hope. They trusted in Christ. And now this is the third day, and they've heard of the women, right? The women had made this astonished. They were astonished by telling us about what had happened to the sepulcher, at the tomb. And they found not the body. See, that's sort of interesting. They go to an open tomb and don't find anything there other than the grave clothes. And found it even so as the woman had said. Others had gone, of course. Certain of the men went, and they found it the same way. And of course, Jesus very kindly says, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. And now Jesus talks to them all about the scripture. And you see, you come down and look at verse 31 in chapter 24. And you'll start in verse 30. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them. He'd taken them aside, and they invited Lord Jesus to come and be with them for the evening. He took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to them. And their eyes were opened. Oh, isn't that interesting? And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. So now in verse 31, we have another opening. this actually ends up being the third opening. We have the tomb being open, but now we have, at least written in this order, the second one, the eyes were open. But we'll see, of course, there's something that happened before their eyes were open. We shall see in a moment. But here, since I'm going in the order of the scriptures, we see their eyes were opened. Now you might say, well, how can that be? Weren't their eyes open so they could get to where they were going? Ah, but there's a difference, see? You see, yes, their eyes were open. They could see where they're going. They could get, go, you know, they're walking down the road, and their eyes in that sense were open. But what's interesting about this word for open, dianoiga, is an interesting word because it means to thoroughly open, not just open, but to completely open. And what's interesting, it's not used very much in the scripture. In the New Testament, it's used 8 times, and 7 of those are used by Luke in the book of Luke and the book of Acts. Once it's used in the book of Mark, and the one time it's used in the book of Mark, chapter 7, our Lord opens the ears and the mouth of a man who's been both deaf and dumb or had a speech impediment. And he puts his fingers in his ears and he touches his tongue and he says, Aphrata, right? Which is the Aramaic for be opened. And it translates it for us, doesn't it? And it says, be opened. And you see, by saying be opened, he's saying dianoiga, that is thoroughly open. No going back, we might say, right? Thoroughly, completely open, so he could actually speak and hear. And so here, when we see that their eyes are fully open, yes, they could see before, but how much better their sight was now because of what he had said. And so, first of all, we have the grave opened. And then we see, in order of how it's written, we have their eyes open. Isn't that what happened to us, brethren, as well? When we came to know the Lord as well. Number one, of course, we would have nothing if the grave wasn't open, would we? Perhaps you remember the message I gave you from last year around this time. We talked about the significance of the resurrection and the importance of the fact that without it, our faith is vain, Paul says. We'd have nothing going for us. But we know it's true. Our brother brought that out this morning, didn't he? How it's genuine. And so we know that's the proof that Christ's death was accepted and that he had dealt with our sins and won the victory. And so number one, important for us as well, is the opening of the grave. But number two, that our eyes are opened. I'll say it's really number three because we'll see there's something that goes in between here in a moment. But you see, our eyes are open. And we could see. Praise God, he opened our eyes. Well, how did that happen? How were their eyes opened? Well, now we need to go a little further down. And you see in verse 32, he goes on, they say to one another, did not our heart burn within us? Oh, I love that. One of my favorite verses there. To think about our hearts burning within. You notice it's a single heart. It's not a plural, right? It's not their hearts. It's their heart, like it's knit together. And our heart burned within us. Wow, he talked with us, by the way. And wow, he, there it is again. Open to us the scriptures. Ah, marvelous, isn't it? That actually happened first, didn't it? You see, along the way, he'd open the scriptures, and then, of course, in the breaking of bread, afterward, he opened their eyes. So I would suggest number two was he opened the scriptures. But in the telling the story, of course, this is how it's brought out. But he, first of all, of course, opens the scriptures to them. And he talks about, of course, the three sections of the scripture, which we'll see here again in a moment. And it's just marvelous to see that he opens the scriptures. And then their eyes, when they see him, the breaking of bread, are open. The open tomb. And the open scriptures. And the opened eyes. Ah, thoroughly opened. Again, that same Greek word, dianoiga, is used here as well. But then I wonder what happened from there. Well, we could go on. Again, I'm not going into a lot of detail, but just to give you something to think on today, as you think about that resurrection morning, that tomb, and so on. And so so they go back, of course, that night, right? They're so excited that they go back that evening to Jerusalem, And they hear again themselves from the others that the Lord is risen, and then they explain what's happened along the way and how they saw him in the breaking of bread and so on. And then in verse 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, peace unto you. And of course, they appeared nervous, a little frighted, a little fearful. And so now, behold, my hands and feet and so on, he says. And so they look at him, of course, and they recognize it's him. But then you go down a little further, and I'm going to just move this down again if you're following. Up on verse 41, and while he yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said to them, have ye anything here to eat, or any meat? And they give him a fish and a honeycomb, and he eats before them. That's sort of interesting. Like, bodies really don't, you know, if it was just a spirit, they wouldn't have to eat, would they? But it's a spiritual body, and it does behave differently, but it can eat. And it can show its wounds, at least on earth anyway, in this way. We don't know how that all works, but it works. And then he says in verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. These things concerning me. You notice he mentions three sections of the scripture, the Hebrew Bible, and there, the Hebrew Bible actually is written that way. And you have the law of Moses, you have the prophets, and then the writings or the Psalms. That's not the way our Bible is set up, but the Hebrew Bible, that was the way it was set up. And he talks all about these things. And then in verse 45, right in the middle of your screen there, then opened he, oh, there it is again, then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scripture. There it is, same word. So three times of the eight times in scripture this word is used, it's used here in this chapter. And then we get that sense a little bit, at least, when we see the tomb opened as well. Though the word open is not used right there, it obviously happens. So here we have the opening of their understanding, lastly. And so if you think about it, the marvels of how God has put his word together. So we see then something that really makes sense to us, even as we think about how we, as it were, ones who were once dead, are now made alive. Well, how? Because of the resurrection of the Lord, right? His death and resurrection. The open tomb helps us, number one. The issue of the opening of the scriptures helps us, number two. The opening of our eyes based on what we see in the scripture, and then the opening of our understanding. Oh, well, obviously that requires the Spirit of God in some way to open our up our understanding and so on. But you see, it reminds us, of course, of what the scriptures say, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Ah, that's interesting. And then, of course, we can go on, and Paul speaks about, well, how are they going to hear unless a preacher preaches it, right? And then a preacher has to be sent and so on. You see, there's a number of things that are involved. And so here we see this beautiful little series of openings on resurrection morning, we might say, and also in the evening. We say resurrection day because most of this is happening in the evening. But what a marvel to think on today is now as we think about our lives and how the life we have, once we were dead, but now alive in Christ, ones who our eyes have been opened, the scriptures have been opened to us, our hearts, our minds, to think about how wonderful it has been to have things open to us thoroughly. Oh, that'll be great to think about today, won't it? To take a few moments today to think on these things and what God has done for us. Well, I know our time is quickly going. And so I'd like to perhaps end by looking at a song that you know. I'll bring it up on the screen for you. And let me share it. Right now, and I'll go over here and share this screen here. And before I share it, I better make it enlarged. let me go do that really quick. And I'll bring it larger if I can. Okay, and then I'll go and share it. Okay, there it is. Now it's larger. Perhaps you've heard this hymn, "Open my eyes that I may see." It usually comes with three verses, and you know the tune. You don't have to sing it, but it has a beautiful tune to it by Clara Scott, who actually wrote the hymn as well. And the first verse says, "Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands a wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free." And then, you know, of course, the refrain, but think about those words, "Open my eyes that I may see." Oh, may we still desire that today, to see what he has for us in all the darkness and gloom of the world and all the challenges we have before us, that we may open our eyes and see in his word glimpses of truth he has for us. Place in our hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. The key, it seems, being his word. And then we go on to the second verse. "Open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear." Think about what our brother Richard mentioned this morning, the genuineness, right? All the faults are set aside when we know what is genuine. And we know because of the resurrection, we know that this is genuine. What we hear, we know is genuine because it's from his word and concerning himself. And then third verse, which is often not in the verses, but it's actually part of the song, "Open my mind." Isn't that interesting? We just talked about that. He opened our understanding. "Open my mind that I may read more of thy love and word and deed. What shall I fear while yet thou dost lead? Only for light from thee I plead." Ah, that we might have him before us and him alone. You know, there's a number of hymns that deal with the issue of the eyes and sight and seeing. We had a couple of them when we had our thoughts this morning as well. You know, turning your eyes upon Jesus, others as well. But lastly, "Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere." Brother mentioned this morning as well. The idea that now that we have had our minds open, we've had our hearts open, we've had the word open to us, the eyes are open, let us now open our mouths. And let us bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. But that's not all, of course. "Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share." And so there's that part, of course, that was mentioned earlier as well, sharing with one another, loving one another, caring for one another during this difficult time. And that brings us to our refrain, of course, "Silently now I wait for thee, ready my God thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine." Our Father, we thank you this morning that we've been able to come together and think about thy word for a moment. Lord, we thank you for this day that we're reminded, of course, of what Christ has done for us in rising from the dead. But we thank you, too, of course, he died and that he was buried and that he rose again, as Paul brings out in the Corinthians chapter 15, that he, of course, died according to the scriptures, that he was buried and rose again according to the scriptures. We thank you that because of that open tomb, that he came forth in life and power, and now we have the evidence that our sins can be forgiven by trusting in you. And perhaps, Father, is one who's joined along that we might be friend or whatever in the family and does not know Christ. Oh, that they might know Christ today. They might see the open tomb. They might hear the word of God. They might have their minds and hearts open to what Christ has done, and thus come to know Christ before it's too late. But for the rest, Father, who know Christ, now they can reflect back on the tomb and see how you opened their eyes, you opened the scriptures, you opened their minds. And now, Father, may you open our hearts and may you open our mouths and our hands to be vessels, as it were, for thee. in this difficult world. To love and care for one another, to share the gospel with others, to think even today, to take a few moments to think of how beautifully you put this chapter together. We might recognize how thoroughly you've opened to us the way of life. We thank you for it. We ask that you might bless us and encourage us as we think on these things this day. Giving you thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.